Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. We continue our meditation on events recorded in Luke chapter 2, reading this morning verses 46 and 47. So it was that after 3 days they found Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, whose person and work were anything but typical, dear friends in Christ, if something is atypical, it's usually safe to ignore it. Those of you who shop online frequently may have noticed an interesting phenomenon. Every product, no matter how good it is, always has at least one negative review. Right? Doesn't matter what masses of people think it's awesome or how many thousands of five-star recommendations it's got. There'll always be one person who absolutely hates it and gives it one star. Interestingly, marketing experts say that those isolated negative reviews don't matter as long as they're atypical. They really don't influence sales. As long as they don't represent the view of the average purchaser, that one negative review won't keep you from buying the product. It's atypical, outside of the norm, so it doesn't matter. It's not likely to apply to you. Except in this case. We've been looking at an episode in the young life of our Lord Jesus, an episode that demonstrates quite clearly that he was anything but typical. In fact, he was atypical in the extreme. But that doesn't mean he doesn't matter for us or that he can be safely ignored. In fact, the life of this atypical adolescent would have the most profound and far-reaching effect on the lives of every person here today. That's why our theme has been the boy Jesus, atypical adolescent. We heard last week about how his growth, especially his spiritual growth, was atypical. He was like a vessel filled to overflowing with the grace and the glory of God. But another thing this passage makes clear is that his abilities were atypical. After their visit to Jerusalem, Mary and Joseph appear to have assumed that Jesus was among the company of their friends and relatives who were journeying back to Nazareth with them, so they didn't even look for Jesus until a whole day had gone by. Then it took them a whole nother day to travel back to Jerusalem, and they didn't find him until the third day. Where did they find him? In the temple, the last place they looked. And that raises kind of an interesting question too, doesn't it? Shouldn't the temple have been the first place they looked for Jesus? Martin Luther draws an interesting application here. Luther says this account should at least remind us that the first place, the only place for us to look for Jesus, is in his temple, God's Word, the Bible. Sadly, of course, that's often the last place people look for pardon and peace and redemption. They'll look every place else. They'll search among their friends and acquaintances. They'll look on Facebook and Twitter. They'll rummage among the baggage train of human wisdom and human philosophy, human feelings and emotions, trying to find some kind of redemption. But the only place to find Jesus is in his temple. The only place to find God's forgiveness and God's grace and God's salvation is in God's Word. Luther says, where should we then go? We must also come into the temple. That is to say, we must cling to the Word of God, which is secure and will not fail us, and where we will certainly find Christ. I must therefore always be with the Word if I cleave to it. If the Word of God goes conquering through death and remains alive, I must also pass through death to life and nothing can hinder or destroy me, neither sin nor death nor the devil. The comfort and boldness I derive from the Word of God cannot be engendered by any other doctrine, for none can be compared with it." Mary and Joseph finally found Jesus in the place they should have looked first, the temple. And what they saw there left them stunned. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. This was not your typical 12-year-old. People were astonished by his abilities. That word astonished is actually kind of comical in the Greek language. If you've ever seen those cartoons where the character is so surprised and astonished that his soul seems to jump outside his body for a minute, that's almost the exact meaning of this Greek verb. And no wonder. Imagine if someone 2 years younger than our ninth graders marched into our seminary one day and began to teach, with a knowledge of God's Word so in-depth and profound that even the seminary professors had to sit down and listen. Typical? Hardly. Everyone who saw Jesus was filled with a sense of awe and wonder at what they witnessed in this young boy. Our text tells us four things that astonished them: his listening, his questions, his understanding, and his answers. That last one's especially significant because, of course, it's not difficult to ask hard questions, is it? The difficult thing is to answer hard questions, and this Jesus was able to do. My Christian friend, Jesus can answer your hard questions too. The ones you have now, like, how can I pass this test, or how can I repair this broken relationship, or how can I overcome this feeling of loneliness? And the harder ones that may not come till later, like, how can I deal with this cancer diagnosis? How can I handle the death of a loved one? And the hardest question of all, of course, the question of sin, the cry of a guilty heart: oh my God, what have I done? Jesus isn't typical, and his answers aren't the typical empty comfort. Don't worry about it. Just do your best and maybe it'll turn out okay. As the people in the temple that day learned, Jesus' answers carry authority. Come to Jesus in the temple of his word, and you'll find the answers for your hard questions too. Answers like John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Answers like Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Answers like John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Those are the answers you need. Glorious, atypical answers from our glorious, atypical Savior. Amen. We conclude this morning with stanzas 1, 2, and 5 of hymn 410. 1, 2, and 5, hymn 410.